soon after has a revelation, reinvents his life.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallen, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sams, who is our next guest. Pastor Drew Sams is a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village. He and his wife, Erica, live in Newberry Park, California, where they just moved, and they are the proud parents of a soon-to-be, in a month or two or three or four, two-year-old Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Well, we must start with our health and welfare update.
Love it. You know, yeah, I guess we will have to start a new intro for him because he's about to hit 2 years old, and it seems
I know, the baby crying thing that we did for all this time just doesn't work. Richard, you got to come up with something, you know, about, I don't know what, for a two-year-old.
You know, he's obsessed with fire trucks, with just any big truck, garbage trucks, fire trucks, school buses, semi-trucks.
Okay, Richard, if you're listening, that's my producer, listeners. Richard, let's see what you can create for our introduction to the health and welfare update on baby Drew. So tell me more. What's going on with him?
He's doing great, coming up on the two-year birthday. And we talked a little bit last week about you know, birthday parties and how, you know, it just seems like a lot of moms today just feel a lot of pressure to have this over-the-top, extravagant birthday party. And, you know what we landed on? This is so cool. We're just going to invite our friends over to our house, this new house we just moved into. And it's because he loves fire trucks, we're going to have everybody bring over their, like wagons, you know, those like radio flyer wagons.
Yeah, red flyer, right?
And so we're gonna kind of decorate it almost like a procession of fire trucks going down
Pastor
the street.
Pastor Drew, go to the local fire.
Yeah,
department.
And so this is the second half. We have a friend who is a firefighter, and he's gonna show up with the truck.
God, awesome!
At the park, and oh, it's gonna be great.
Awesome! That's so cool. All right, enough about that, even though I could talk about your son and your being a young parent all the time because I love it. I went from Dubai to Mumbai, and it was a culture shock beyond belief. And, of course, that's this week's column. As you told me on the break, you had your own culture shock from visiting a place of excess to a place of poverty. I'd love you to share that experience and any thoughts you have from Scripture that you'd like to share on this whole notion of wealth and poverty.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so you went from Dubai to Mumbai. You went from decadence. How did you phrase it? Decadence to
deprivation.
Deprivation. And boy, it just it so reminded me of a journey that I took that was from deprivation to decadence. I went from 2 weeks leading a trip in Uganda, in East Africa, but we spent the majority of the time in a slum, much like parts of Mumbai. People live in, you know, in shanties. There's no electricity, no running water, just filth everywhere. Just, you know, overwhelmed by the sounds, the smells, the sights. And I went from that, literally flew back through, you know, London, all the way through Los Angeles, and then the next morning took a flight to Maui to officiate a wedding for a close friend of mine. And we stayed in a really, really nice hotel. He paid for it. And I remember sitting there, the first meal that I took, that I had after this long trip, it was a $75 buffet breakfast.
Wow.
$75 buffet breakfast, right? You know, it was paid for. I looked, I saw the price on the menu. And, you know, I saw, you know, people around me complaining about the coffee not being hot enough, this, that. And I was trying to do the math in my head, and I distinctly remember this. I remember thinking, wow, this is 6 months' pay for some people that I met.
Wow, wow.
In Uganda,
in one meal,
people complained.
Yes, yes, it is. They live on many of those countries. They're living on 80 cents to a buck and a quarter a day. $75 for breakfast. Well, I got one. I got one to see. I see you, and I'm going to raise you one. One of the hotels in Abu Dhabi, I don't remember its name, and I think it's called the Palace Hotel. It's the only 8-star hotel in the world. Every item of food you get there has gold on it, edible gold.
Wow.
You want to talk about decadence. That's insane. So continue with what you felt going. I mean, it's so funny because you went the opposite direction. I went from all this wealth to poverty. You went from all this poverty to all this wealth. I mean, they're both absolutely gut-wrenching as far as emotionally, but tell me more about what you felt, and also if you want to weave in any of the scripture that you think might be relevant, I'd love to hear.
Sure. You know, it really, it was like a shock to my system going from one to the other. And, you know, I live, I can't even say that I live somewhere in between, because truthfully, you know, if there's a spectrum between, okay, your trips of Dubai and Mumbai, we don't live halfway in between. We're much more living here in the United States.
Absolutely.
We're much closer to Dubai than Mumbai.
Yeah. Okay, the only difference is instead of driving a Lamborghini, you drive a three-year-old, totally healthy car.
Yeah.
You know, a Honda or whatever. And that's the difference between, there's the Lamborghini to the Honda to them pulling carts with water that they drink and wash to their non-electrified home with no smartphone or TV. That's, you're absolutely right. On that continuum, we are a heck of a lot closer to the $75 breakfast and gold leaf coffee in Dubai and Maui than we are to Uganda or Africa.
Yes, and it's so easy, I think, you know, to always look at somebody else's situation and either say it's better or to say it's worse. But I think that there's things to learn. There's value almost in both of them. So, you know, for example, when I was in Africa, I felt like, okay, they're poor materially, but they're very wealthy in terms of relationships.
Mm-hmm. The family unit is pretty strong, yeah.
Tremendous. And so I kind of took the best of that experience, and I tried to think, okay, how can I incorporate or invest more, you know, in my relationships? I want to be wealthier in that regard. And then, you know, I went to Maui and experienced, and it was a wonderful trip. But I thought, wow, I take a lot of things for granted. I take for granted running water. You know, I take for granted the fact that I can go to any pharmacy and get medicine for whatever I need. Just the fact that I do have a car, you know, and it doesn't break down, that I'm not having to walk or carry, you know, water on my back. So really it just came down to perspective. And I just walked away from that experience, really telling a lot of people, friends, congregants and high school students, people that I led at, through the church, that, you know, traveling is such a valuable thing.
Now, you took a bunch of students with you to Uganda.
I did. So
they must have been powerfully impacted.
Oh, tremendously. Because, you know, here I was, probably late 20s. I had done traveling up to that point. These were 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, many of them for the first time, not only outside of the country. For some of them, it was the first time really out of very nice middle-upper-class suburbia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hadn't even been outside of the country. Some of them had never even been to, like, downtown L.A.
Wow.
And so what a shock that they experienced. And so we really had to do a lot of training, a lot of preparation for that. You know, you don't want to shock the system too much. But still, it was a really hard experience for many of us.
I have to imagine it will enhance their lives and in ways they'll value from the rest of their lives. So what sort of scripture that comes to mind that touches on what we've been talking about?
Boy, there's so much. But one of the things that I saw, I'll give you two. The first one is actually from Mark 8:36. It says, "For what is a profit a man to gain the whole world but to forfeit his soul?" And, you know, on one hand, we can go the one route and say, you know, if we think that the highest value in life is just getting things, eventually we're going to get to a point where we're going to realize that we're left empty, you know. And so we shouldn't just say, okay, wealth is really the highest value and, you know, Dubai is better than Mumbai in that regard. But then again, wealth isn't evil in its own. There's another verse that talks about it's not that wealth is evil, but or money is evil, but it's the love of money. It's when our hearts are wrapped up in it.
Yes.
When we pursue it. But yeah, at the same time, this is the second one. It's from Proverbs 28. Whoever gives to the poor will never be in want. And I just thought about that perspective. You know, if you walk through life, and we have sometimes we feel poor, people around us are poor, but just having a posture that gives away, that is generous, that pays for a person's coffee in line behind you, that opens up the door for another, I think that we're going to be having a perspective in life that is much richer.
That's the word. We are going to be richer for it. We're out of time, Pastor Drew. Where can you be found?
I can be found on all social networks at Surfer Drew.
Excellent. Thank you, Pastor Drew. Happy to your birthday to your son, and I'll look forward to talking with you next week. Listeners, hang on for Dr. Weberman and some therapy, which I desperately need.
That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA, produced his first film at age 24. That's when he really started to score. Vice president of ABC, yeah, that's right. He's a motherfucking G, yeah.